This morning, we have Palm Sunday, and we have a reading from the book of Matthew. The four Gospels give the account of the triumphal entry. So this morning, what I intend to do is to read from Matthew, but also to read some verses from Luke as we reflect upon God's word this morning. Because sometimes people like to talk about, there's always two sides on the coin. People like to talk about heaven, but they don't like to be talking about hell. And we have heaven and hell. We talk about happiness, but there is sadness as well. And today, we are going to talk about the triumphal entry, but there is also a sad sign that we have been reminded that we are in worship. There was a day of tragedy and sadness. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn to your Bibles in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11, and I'll read from Luke as well, some verses from Luke chapter 19. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there. We had called by her, untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Said to the daughter of Zion, "See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Then from the book of Luke, I'm going to read a few verses. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. The same account, but some words that make emphasis to what happened on that particular day. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day, what would bring you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hang you on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Amen. Let's pause for a moment in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And we pray that we will be able to hear your voice. Father, I confess I am a sinner. I don't deserve to do what I do, but I do it because of your mercy. So, Father, bless our time together. Talk to us. Help us to discern your will in our lives and help us to be obedient because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. How rapidly the days close on the public ministry of our Lord. 3 years earlier or so, John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the multitudes. And he said when Jesus came to be baptized, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Here, the Lamb of God. And from that day onward, Jesus' popularity grew. He was considered a great rabbi. He was considered a great teacher. He was considered a miracle worker. He was considered by some people, the Messiah. But At the same time, there were some people who didn't like him. The Pharisees and scribes, they were determined to do away with him. Now in this Passover season, they were determined to plot his death. They said, we are going to disappear him. We are going to kill him. On this Sunday, known as Palm Sunday, Jesus started his last day of ministry on this planet. Jesus guarded his secret that he was the Messiah. Even with the transfiguration, he said, do not tell. But today, that day, on Palm Sunday, that was the day that Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 came to be real. Because Zechariah said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout after Jerusalem, see you king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That was a day of triumph. The streets of Jerusalem were filled with joy, but also was a day of tragedy because Jesus wept. In contrast with the celebration, and Jesus, in the book of Luke that we read, they said, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it, saying, if you even you know, oh, who was here for you? Who will bring you peace? But now it's hidden from your eyes. It was a day of triumph. And then perhaps it was a day like this or like yesterday. I was so surprised. I was waiting for more rain and rain. Still praying. Yeah, I know. But maybe it was a day like that. And Jesus had breakfast with his disciples, and he had the preparation. He said, as they approached Jerusalem, you know, the disciples were ready, and then Jesus made clear what he wanted. He said, send two of his disciples ahead to prepare for his entry to Jerusalem. They found the colt as Jesus had instructed, exactly as Jesus asked them. And then when they were loosing the animal, they say, what are you doing? And they said, well, as Jesus said, the Lord needs them. Another gospel said, the Lord needs it. They quite willingly, the owner of the colt, consented to his use by the Lord. But this is very significant for us. Because many people have different opinions about what's happening here. Some people say that, you know, what happened here is this. It was a typical Eastern hospitality, especially at Passover. The locals knew that they needed to lend what they could to their visiting countrymen. Therefore, loaning the donkey was a common courtesy. There's nothing here. Okay. Another scholar says this would have been an honor to let a distinguished rabbi ride you beast. So for them, it was an honor. They knew who Jesus was and they said, you can use it. Some others suggest that perhaps Jesus had arranged for the use of the donkey earlier. So the password was the Lord's wisdom. But I cite those who say this. Is that a demonstration of faith? This guy recognized Jesus as his master, as his Lord. Perhaps he's heard Jesus preaching somewhere. So the moment they came and asked, he recognized that everything belongs to the Lord. Tonight we are going to be reflecting upon that in one of the parables. So first of all, we have three things here. First of all, a true follower is willing to give what he has to the Lord. So he has this donkey. We don't know if he has only one. Perhaps only has one, two or three. He gave it. The true believer knows what we have. Everything we have belongs to God. But also a true believer knows the value of what we have when we place in the Lord's hands what we have. It multiplies. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? So the boy recognized Jesus. And he multiplied. So we need to take care about here. This is very important in the preparation. But now we have the preparation. We have the procession. They start going up. And Jesus is seated. They said they brought the donkey on the colt. They placed their clothes on them. And Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road, while the streets cut branches and from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him followed, shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the highest!" And they say that this day of triumph, this procession, when Jesus comes, they use words from the Psalm, from one Psalm, Psalm 24. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." And can you imagine these people walking alongside, and somebody was shouting, "Who is this King of glory?" And the other people were shouting, "The Lord is strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." You know what? There was another people there, the Pharisees, the scribes, and they were annoying because they knew they were quoting from the Old Testament. And they said, "Okay, the procession is going." And then the Pharisees were there, the scribes were there, and they said to them, to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. You know what they are saying." And Jesus said, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." The procession goes. People are happy. But also the Pharisees, who were ready to kill Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 19 says, the Pharisees saying among themselves, "Behold, the world is gone after him." Resignation. We cannot do anything about. Certainly it was a day of triumph. People are happy. For the very first time Jesus receiving the glory. The Pharisees, they said, "We cannot do anything about it." But one person was sad. Jesus, because Jesus knew that day was a day of tragedy. In the midst of all the shouting, there was one who wept. What a contrast of emotions. Shouting and weeping. Triumph and tragedy. Happiness and sadness. The wild demonstration of affection by the fickle multitude moved Jesus to weep. They shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" But Jesus has us a lamentation. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophet, a stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." One time, Napoleon was riding into Switzerland, and people were, shouting in his favor, and they were saying, "Long live the king! Viva la France!" to the Emperor Napoleon. But he wasn't excited about it. So one of his followers says, "Well, you see, the people love you." And Napoleon replied, "The same people that are cheering for me today will cheer just as loudly at my execution." Napoleon knew the fickleness of mankind. And Jesus knew that. Here we have the contrast. Why? Because Jesus knew that they didn't love him. They wanted a conqueror. They wanted a warrior. They wanted somebody to come and cross the Romans. They were there because maybe they wanted to be fed. They wanted a miracle. And then Jesus says, how often God love you, Israel. They love Israel, was called to be children of God. Israel was rescued from Egypt. Israel was protected in Egypt. Israel was loved by God. But how often Jesus is saying, God love you, the Father love you, and you did not listen. What Jesus said to Israel at the first Palm Sunday says to us today, and you were not willing. When we are born, our moms or our dad love us, and we as our children, we don't listen. When we are young, we come to church perhaps. And we are, your parents say something to you and or people in the church, and how often, and we don't listen. Sometimes when we are older, we can say, this is my life, and we do not listen. So what is happening here is the same tragedy is happening here. It's a conflict between what God wants to, for us, and we are obstinate. We don't want to respond. You see, love is not there. Some people could be religious. They wear a cross. They come to church. They are a deacon. They could be a minister. They could be a bishop. But there is no love for God. There could be sympathy. I love Christianity. I respect curiosity. But there is no love for him. That is what Jesus saw there. Lost love. We come to church because we want something out of it. I remember one person. He went to this one of these charismatic churches because they were advertising healing. And this guy, he was quite well-to-do. You know, he went to this church, and I will not mention that kind of name. That's his bag in Ecuador. And he joined to that organization. He was praying for healing, and healing didn't happen. But he was giving a lot of money to that church. And then I found out, because it didn't happen, he was suing the church. There is no love. That's what Jesus saw. It was a day of tragedy because as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now is hidden from your eyes. They lost also an opportunity. Jesus realized that they lost an opportunity. The word if speaks of an opportunity offered and refused and lost forever. Israel had their time of visitation. They had it when God gave them Moses and the prophets, the King David, and all the prophets before. Now, Jesus himself is coming to speak to them. The emphatic repetition in the King James Version, thou, is a broken form of sentence that says that the feeling of the divine speaker. Jesus wept on that day because he knew they were about to have a day of tribulation. He knew that they have lost their love. They lost the opportunity and they were facing tribulation. That is what Luke says. This morning, I wanted just to emphasize not only in Matthew, but in Luke as well. Luke chapter 19 is very vivid. 19:43 and 44. Jesus entered and he wept and he says, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hang you and on every side. They will dash you to the ground and the children within your wall, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. I like the King James Version. The King James Version's use the word, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And that word visitation says, carries with the thought of someone in authority carrying out an inspection. Jesus came and inspected the house of Israel and found them wanting. The religion was made from rituals and rules. They did not repent of their sins as the people of Nineveh. I love the story of Jonah. And you will hear me repeating and repeating back. Jesus saw they have the temple. Oh, look, the temple, how many years? We are children of God. We are children of Abraham. They did not repent. They were about to face a day of tribulation. We have people in churches. I am a Christian. I love God. I was baptized. I am a member of the church. But they do not repent. We do not repent. My friends, it's so dangerous. Perhaps that's what's happening in the United States of America. There are many Christians praying on their knees, praying for mercy. Because churches could be full. I was in a Baptist church of 25,000 members. Can you imagine? 25,000. It was then, maybe now it's more. You could get lost there. And some people like to be in churches like that because you could get lost. That's what Jesus saw. The day of tribulation was coming because they did not repent. But I love Jesus, and it's about love. It's about wrath of God, my friend. The city of, the picture is not quite clear, but you know, Jesus saw the destruction of Jerusalem. In AD 70, Titus and his Roman army captured Jerusalem, and that was horrible. Every time I'm reading about what it was horrible. And what Jesus said is happening exactly. Your children will be destroyed. When we sing, our children are affected, my friends. My grandchildren will be affected if I have grandchildren. Josephus, the historian, described like this. But for the city, it was thoroughly laid even with the ground by those who dug it up to the foundations, that there were left nothing to make those that come hither believe it that had ever been inhabited. Can you imagine? That happened because Jesus saw that on Palm Sunday. As I conclude today, you see the issue of this Palm Sunday is the same today. Jesus declared himself to be the long-awaited king that will redeem those who trust him. Not because they were children of God. Not because I am Baptist, Methodist, Anglican, Catholic, or whatever you want to call you, yourself. No, because we trust him and we repent. And Jesus wept. You know why he wept? The multitude was there. But he said, if you, even you, have only known this day, what will bring you peace? My friend, I bring him all the time because every time I see his life, make me cry. And I speak to him most of the time. I phone him, and he was in church, and he was a deacon in the church. But he will not change something. He will not change something. He said, be careful, my friend. Be careful, please, you know. He lost his marriage. Have two children, and then have illegitimate children there. But when we speak, I can hear his brokenness. And I said, please come back. Go to the church. Jesus saw that they refused his love. They lost the opportunity to be blessed. My friend, and I hope that he will come back one day and he will be blessed again. Do you believe that? That yes, we could be disobedient, but when we repent, really repent, he restored everything. And we are going to be blessed again. And I pray that my best friend will be blessed one day again. And we will be in worship together. I want to see him being blessed. He was sad because he knew that they were facing a day of tribulation. My friend sometimes tell me, I would love to be sitting on a table with all my family. I can't. My friends, it's Palm Sunday. It's a day of triumph, tragedy. Are Jesus' tears for you? Are these tears for you? Or for me? Because I am refusing his love. You are refusing his love. Are these tears for you because you are missing the opportunity for blessings? Because they say, well, we are in the 21st century. This is normal now. And you have an issue. And I have an issue. And we don't want to repent. Let's not play with fire. Because we are going to face a day of tribulation. But I'm happy because the Holy Week only started. And then we have Good Friday. And Sunday is coming. And we pray that this week we will be able to reflect, to pray, and to really come closer to God. So we could be singing hosannas, and that triumphal entry will be every day in our lives because we have surrendered our lives to Jesus. Let us pray just for a moment before we come to our last psalm this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the first Palm Sunday or the first Sunday that you enter into Jerusalem. Father, help us not to be full and just talk about one side of the coin. It was a day of triumph, but it was a day of tragedy. And Father, help us not to refuse your love. Help us to accept your love. Help us not to miss the opportunity to be blessed when we trust and obey you. And help us not to be in danger of be facing tribulation in our lives because of something that could happen. But help us to be ready, looking forward for the day of redemption when Jesus Christ is coming back for us. So, Father, thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you could bless this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.